I've had a very exciting week because as I was preparing for this message today, it's just came alive. The connections, my study, and you know, after 38 years of ministry, it's starting to connect.
Finally, huh?
And it was just personally so rich for me, and I hope the richness of it touches your hearts too, because there's so much depth here and connection. What I'm going to do today, and we talk about loving one another. That's our topic for this particular season, loving one another. What I'm going to do is first go to the scriptures in terms of loving God with humility. Then I'm going to make a connection from loving God with humility to loving relations and how humility affects loving relationships. And then in order to get there, I'm going to have to talk about pride, because the opposite of humility is pride. So I'm going to talk about pride also. And in doing so, we're going to hopefully improve our relationships with God and also improve our relationships around us. Most of us come to this world and, you know, our primary concern is our relationships with people around us. Isn't that true? You know, because especially if it's not healthy or it's painful or difficult. But there's a connection between our relationships with people and there's a connection between our relationship with God. And so we start with God, and it's going to affect our relationships with people. Amen? You understand? We start with God, and it's because it's going to affect our relationships with people, because we're all connected like that. And we'll find that we need that extraordinary love, that God brings us in order to love extraordinarily the people around us. And so I want to invite you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. It's toward the end of the Bible, 1 Peter chapter 5. And I'm going to read just a few verses 5 to 7. And so we're on the topic, love one another, under the umbrella topic of loving God. So we're on that series, the subtopic, love one another. As we receive love from God, we're able to love one another. So 1 Peter chapter 5, starting from verse 5. He's talking about ministry and those of us who serve in ministry and how important it is. And really, you know, that's all of us, isn't it? That's all of us, because we all serve in ministry in some capacity. And then he narrows it down. He talks about the older and more mature. And then he talks about the young men as they're preparing, as they're getting better and better in serving in ministry. So 1 Peter chapter 5, starting from verse 5. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourself with humility toward one another. And so that's the theme concept for today. Humility towards one another. Okay, love each other that way. Because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. And so to fully understand humility, I'm going to start talking with the concept of pride and how pride affects not only our relationship with God, but pride affects our relationships around us in a detrimental manner. Sometimes we have to be careful with what we call pride because define it. Even we in the church get it mixed up sometimes, what pride really is. Sometimes we think loud and confident and assertive and ambitious and cocky, that's prideful. And so we don't like people who are prideful because, you know, they're arrogant or, you know, something like that. Not necessarily so. Or humility might be, you know, have you ever seen people with a kind of a false humility? They're always putting themselves down. They don't promote themselves. They're never defending their opinion. And sometimes Christians get the false idea that if you're a doormat, then you're being humble for the Lord. You know, I'm sorry. Doormat humbleism is not a spiritual quality, okay? Not a God quality. Jesus certainly was not a doormat. You know, he had a lot of intentionality. But we get these ideas mixed up. And so a proper and right and godly understanding of what pride is, and then a proper and right and godly understanding of what humility is, I think will set us aright. And the nature of pride, we'll examine spiritual pride, and then we'll connect with relationship pride. And then we'll end with humility in relationships. So I'm going to invite you to go, and you know, the Lord led me to this verse, and I thank the Lord for it, in the Old Testament, to the book of Jeremiah. So I'm going to focus on the book of Jeremiah. It's about the middle of the Old Testament, chapter 13. If you don't know this verse, circle it, underline it. Well, if it's your Bible, I mean, you know. That's the one thing about having these iPod Bibles or telephone Bible. You can't underline. I mean, you can, but, you know, you can't. Sort of. You can do it digitally, but, you know, you can't flip the page and find it, you know. Okay, anyway. Does that make sense? That's all right. All right. Okay, Jeremiah chapter 13. Okay, Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 9 and 10. Jeremiah chapter 13. And if in your Bible, you want to underline, that's great. I'm going to start from verse 8. This is what the word of the Lord came to me. This is what the Lord says. In the same way, I will ruin the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. So the Lord starts out, the prophet starts out saying, I'm going to contest the pride that you have. Okay, particularly in Judah, especially in Jerusalem. I'm going to contest that pride. Then he goes to describe what that pride is. And so he says in verse 10, these wicked people, okay, prideful people, these wicked people who, first, refuse to listen to my words, secondly, who follow the stubbornness of their hearts, and thirdly, go after other gods to serve and worship them. And then he talks about will be like this belt, which is completely useless. He uses the analogy of a belt prior to that, you know, to describe how useless people who are prideful. And so the three points we're going to talk about today, first of all, prideful people refuse to listen to the words of God. Secondly, follow the stubbornness of their hearts. And thirdly, go after other gods to serve and worship them. This is such an anointed verse because it tells us exactly, okay, the sin principle and pride, what it means. And so remember this verse. And from that, we're going to go with its opposite to humility and what humility means. So let's look at these three, okay? You follow me? First of all, refuse to listen to God's word. Prideful people refuse to listen to God's word. They ignore God. They're indifferent to God, his calling, his words, and even disobey. Spiritual pride starts when a person turns away from the Lord. God is not important. Why should I listen to God? Oops. Why should I listen to God? Because what he has to say is not important. We don't need God. I can handle life on my own. I'll control my own life. I have no need for forgiveness. I have no need for salvation, anything like that. So don't need God. Hebrews 3:12 says, see to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. That's where pride starts. We turn away from the living God. And it puts us in a situation where we don't have the resources of God, don't have the salvation of God, don't have the promise and love of God. And so we're living life just on our own resources. Departure from the Lord is the beginning of pride. Spiritual pride. We lose sight of our true position in relationship to God. He's the creator. We are the created. We lose that sense of concept of who's supreme and who's finite. We're the finite ones, right? We're the finite. We're the ones who deteriorate, not him. He's always been and always will. And so when we think of pride, we don't need God. We're content with that. We might elevate ourselves, become self-confidence. And so relationship pride, when we take that, how we relate to God in pride, when we take that into our relationships, because we will do it the same way. If we turn our back on God, we're going to turn our back on relationships. And so when we ignore the people in our life, that's relationship pride. We ignore the people around us or dismiss what they say. We don't need other people. We certainly don't need them. We are with them only to use them, or if they benefit us in some way. That's the application of this principle. So we ignore or are indifferent to the importance of other people. Why be in a spiritual growth group because with other believers? Because I don't need them. Why pray with the people around them? Because I don't need them. Why listen to their concerns? Why listen to their burdens? Why take their advice? Why hear their opinions? Because we don't need them. Why be in a marriage? He or she is not important. It's not important what they want or what they think. And we become indifferent to other people's needs. And that's why Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, the concept there is about spiritual transformation. But he says, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought. And that's spiritual pride. We don't need God, so we think of ourselves so much better than we are. But rather, think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Be alert how we think of ourselves. Spiritual pride means we don't need God. We don't need his salvation. And relationship pride means we don't need people around us. Or if we have people around, it's only to use them. Or that they might benefit us in some way. The second aspect that Jeremiah comes up with, follow the stubbornness of their hearts. Prideful people follow the stubbornness of their hearts. In other words, they prefer their own way instead of God's way. Spiritual pride, when we resist God's calling and go our own way, we hear the voice of God. We might hear the plan of God. We might hear the intention of God. We might hear what God wants of us. We might hear the mission calling of God. But we don't seek it. We don't seek God's direction. Psalm 10, verse 4 says, in his pride, the wicked does not seek him. Wow. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. I thought about this many times. I think, man, you know, an important decision about who to marry. I was thinking about it. I said, did I ever ask God, Lord, show me who it is you want me to marry? You know, and just, you know, I don't remember ever saying that. You know, God blessed me anyway. That's grace, you know, and God gave me the perfect woman for my life. But, you know, I think, well, how come I didn't say that? It's such an important decision, isn't it? I never said that. Spiritual pride. Resist God's calling or don't seek his will. You know, it can mean that we rely on tradition. That which has always been, we'll do it again. Have you ever heard of it? We've never done that way before. Okay. Have you ever heard that? Well, it's because we rely on tradition. We rely on the way it's done before. And you know, Moses got in trouble for doing that. You know, remember his story? Moses, the first time they were out wandering in the wilderness in the desert, and people said, hey, we don't have any water. And Moses said, hey, God, what are we going to do about this? And so God says, go outside, take your staff, and strike the rock. So he hit the rock, and water gushed out. You know, that got implanted in Moses really deep. The next time that happened, people said, hey, Moses, we're out here, we don't have any water. And Moses says, what are we going to do about this, God? And God says, go out and speak to the rock. And what did Moses do? He went outside, took his staff, and struck the rock. Why did he strike the rock? Because God said to speak to the rock. But he struck the rock because, hey, it worked last time. Remember that? I've had this image of romance. You know, this kind of the stereotypic image of romance. Candlelight. A table with an actual tablecloth on it. You know, instead of plastic. But anyway, a tablecloth, you know, and then flower, you know, that kind of stuff. Maybe a strolling minstrel walking around tables. I mean, oh, Susanna loved that, you know. You know, and I would do that sometimes especially early in our relationship, because, you know, I'd save all my money and we didn't go anywhere else because I was saving my money to have this special dinner like that. And it'd be nice, but, you know, I noticed that the effect on Suzanne was rather nil at best. You know, I was kind of wondering about that. Then later I find out, oh, she wants something like being together and connected emotionally. What's that? I mean, you know. What is that? You know, but I was relying on tradition. Okay, what I learned from the books and what tradition says and what the romantic novels say. You know, that's supposed to, not that I read romantic, but anyway, you know, that's what you're supposed to do, right? And then she falls in love with you and she can't. Oh, you're the greatest. You're 100%. I mean, it's not working. Well, it's because she's an individual and she has her own ideas. What really reaches her isn't necessarily what's traditionally done. And I had to find out what really reaches her. Also, not only traditionally, but we can also know what God wants, but we can refuse. Remember Jonah? God says, Jonah, go over there and tell those people about God. And he said, no, I'm going this way because I don't want that to happen. Because I hate those people. I'm going to have to gesture with just my right hand. I hate those people over there. Okay? And, well, you know, Jonah got in trouble with God that way. Eventually he did go and help those people, but he pouted about it because he didn't want to do what God said. Now, in terms of how that relates to relationship pride, people have to do what we want. And we pout and manipulate and we insist and we cry and argue because they've got to do what we want. You're not doing this. You're not doing that. You know, how come you, and we get critical and da-da-da-da-da. Prideful people think they know what the others want or what other people need. I know what you want. I know what you need. Well, not always, do we? Have you ever gotten a gift from somebody and they said, oh, you're going to love this. You're going to love it. And they give it to you and you open it up and go, ugh. And then they say, don't you love it? Don't you love it? And you know, you don't want to seem ungrateful or, you know what I mean? And you don't want to seem like you're a prude. So you go, yeah, I love it. They didn't really know what you wanted, right? But they feel, oh, I know what you need. And we do that so many times in relationships all the time. See, they prefer their own way instead of God's way. Thirdly, they go after other gods to serve and worship them. Spiritual pride means we engage in idolatry. We worship a different god. There's many forms of spiritual pride and idolatry. Maybe we don't necessarily have a figurine of somebody else or something else in our homes and things, but we might worship materialism or things or lusts or self, or maybe we worship success, or maybe we worship intelligence, or maybe we worship education, or maybe we worship having a title after our name, a certain kind of title after our name, or you know, there's all kinds of things that we worship. 1 Samuel 12:21 says, do not turn away after useless idols. They can do you no good. Nor can they rescue you because they are useless. That is, there's so much truth in that. And so we determine what's important to us because that will get us something that we want and we want it deeply. But we don't find out what's important to God. Really, God, what's important to you? Now, how that connects with relationship pride. When we ignore our significant relationships for other people or other things. Beloved, if you're married and you look at another woman or another man, your relationship's going to be in trouble. Flat out. We know that, right? Yeah, we know that. One of the deepest hurts I've heard from women is when their husband looks at attractive, sexy women as they walk down the street. And they'll say, whoa. Guys, I don't care how you disguise it. I don't care how you try not to do it. I don't care if you even put something between you and your spouse and do this. She knows. She knows. That's relationship pride. I'm going to go search for other gods. Football season is starting soon. I saw this commercial. I thought that was really funny. Guy was saying, see you later in about 6 months or 5 months when football season is over. All kinds. The latest version. Oh, my gosh. I see this so often. I took a picture of some people doing that here in the church. I'm not going to show it because I don't want to embarrass them. But so often we get together and there's a bunch of people there. And we're all together. What a wonderful opportunity to talk. And everybody's doing this. Nobody's talking to each other. They're just doing this. And we worship this little thing. Because the relationships around us aren't important anymore. Just this. Oh my goodness. We waste so much time that we could be giving to our relationships by looking at screens. We make the important people in our lives secondary to something or someone else. Examples abound. We ignore important people for our careers. Promotes what we call workaholism. But I've got to do it. I'm doing it for you. No, we're not. No, we're not. We're connected to other people, either emotionally or even full-blown sexual affairs. Well, they meet my needs. They understand me. You know what I say to that? I'm going to say something really sophisticated and really theological. I've heard that too many times. We get so busy, we miss the important people, we miss their landmark dates. Birthdays, graduation, anniversaries. How many people here know when your anniversary is? I'm so glad to see all those hands go up. Did your spouse's hand go up too? Just now? But we miss the important things, the important landmarks in the people that are important to us. I think of anniversary because the last three Saturdays, I was involved in weddings. Oh, it's such a joyous event. But, you know, remember those important dates. We turn away from a person, seek only people who will please us or focus on us. That's relationship pride. So if a person tells us something that we do not like, does not pay attention to us enough, or in the way that we want, does not receive our suggestions, does not live every moment of their lives to please us, then we discard the relationship. Pride is ultimately selfishness. You know, prideful behavior can be arrogant, it can be cocky, it can be haughty, it can be angry, it can be loud, but it can also be very quiet, very polite, and very civil. It doesn't have to be loud and boisterous. It can be very quiet and can be very willful in quietness. So what is true humility? Okay, we'll take the same three and then extrapolate from those same three the opposite, which is humility. First of all, spiritual humility, we're aware of the true position of our dependence in relation to Christ. He's the creator. We're the created ones. He has the idea for the universe. He knows where it's going. We don't call the shots. We're living in His kingdom. This is not ours, but it's His. God is greater. We are lesser. I was driving down the street to one of the weddings a week or so ago, and I saw this bumper sticker. It said, He, and then what do you call that? Yeah, but what do you call that thing? Kind of an arrow-ish type of thing. Is greater than I. I saw that on a bumper sticker. I said, you know, that's so good. That's just a recognition of who God is and our position compared to Him. I mean, to Him it's probably a joke because He says, well, duh. You know, considering that He roams the universe and which we can't even grasp mentally. And we're in a little teeny little whatchamajigget on this one little earth. Of course He's greater than us. Much, much greater than us. And we need Him every day for salvation, to accomplish His task, for guidance, for directions, for mission, for support, for protection, for comfort, for His extraordinary love. He is the source of life, not us. And relationally, humility is to be aware that people are important. And we need those people. Beloved, we are much better in community than in isolation. Much, much better. I minister to people who have moved away from us, from our church. And for a while, you know, it takes about 2 or 3 years to find a community when you move away. But when they move away, they're in isolation. They just can't stand it. They can't stand it. They don't realize how rich our community is and how important it is and how much they needed each other. We need each other. And when they take themselves out of it, they realize what they've missing. Ephesians 4, Paul was talking about using gifts together, all of us putting it together. He says, then we will no longer be infants. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head. That is Christ. From him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. You see, we need each other. All of us working together, ministering together, connected together, loving each other. And then when we do that in the church, then everybody grows. But when we serve in isolation or be in isolation, first of all, we don't grow. Then we also inhibit someone else's growth because we're not helping out. Because other people need us too. Secondly, true spiritual humility prefers and follows God's way. Proverbs 9:10 says the fear, when he talks about fear in the Old Testament, it talks about the reverence or the devotion, the respect of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We start to understand things. Because, the universe, and all relationships, people, we start to understand things. When we revere the Lord. Relationally, it means humble people. A humble person is open to other people's ideas, their concerns, their desires, their needs, their burdens. We do something for someone else because it's important to them. And in the way we know they need it. Versus what we want to give or what we want to do. You know, when someone does something for you, out of their character, and we know that they did it for us because we know that they know what we like. Did I say that right? We know that they know what we like. Oh, I feel loved. Right? You guys looking kind of blankly, are you? Suzanne, last night I came back from the wedding and I was kind of spent emotionally. I mean, it was an exciting day and, you know, being an introvert, exciting day, even exciting days wear me out, you know. And so I was lying down and she made me some snacks and she took a cup and put some water in it and heated it up and made me some hot water. Because she knows I like to drink hot water. Now, some of you might think, and she doesn't like hot water. I don't think I've ever seen her drink hot water without something in it, you know. But she knows I like hot water. And so she got a cup and made me some hot water. Oh, gosh. She loves me and she knows what I like. So she did what I liked. Love is doing something for someone else which they like. Ephesians 4, Paul speaks to this. He says, do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Beloved, don't criticize your spouses or your friends. Don't speak harshly to them. Don't use any swear words. No put downs. That's what that means. But only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. Do you know the love languages of the people around you? Do you know what I mean by love languages? There's 5 love languages. Physical touch, gifts, words of affirmation, 2 more.
Huh?
Quality time?
Acts of service.
Thank you. Do you know what your significant others and your important relationships, what their love language is? That's why, that's the value of this. We know what theirs is so that we can love them in the way that they can receive it. If you don't know, buy the book. And I don't get any royalties out of that. But buy the book and then ask your significant others what their love language is. Thirdly, true spiritual humility will serve and worship the one true God. True spiritual humility will serve and worship the one true God. No idols. Recognize the forms of idolatry in our culture and we resist them. Relationally, honors and values important relationships. Honors and values important relationships. That's why Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. That's what he means by that. Honor and value important relationships. There's a loyalty and a faithfulness to important people in our lives. And so we don't seek other avenues. Especially in marriage, we don't seek other avenues. But we stay faithful. Our example, of course, is Jesus Christ. Because he came, he left the paradise of heaven to come to this depraved earth. He left the paradise of heaven to come to this depraved earth and sacrificed himself, not because he felt like he wanted to do it one day, not like he felt because it'd be fun to experience all that, not because he thought, oh, I want to experience what it means to be a human being. No, he did all that because he knew we needed it. And he suffered because we needed it. And so he is our example of true humility. True humility. Let's pray, shall we? Lord Jesus, show to us pride and what we need to make those changes in our lives. Help us to value the people around us. Help us to be truly humble in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless. Have a great week. I used all the time, so have a blessed